And this is the podcast Derby, a blacklist podcast for this week's episode, Guillermo Reisel, number 128. Guillermo.
Guillermo. Like Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah. And I'm Brian, he's Dave, in case you forgot. As we'll do our show, and I was reminded recently, we forget to say that we spoil the show. I don't know. Somebody actually said that. So.
Oh yeah, this is a
this is a review
discussion.
Expecting like, you've seen it. So.
Yeah.
And we're not going to recap as usual. So if somebody said we should mention that once in a while. So that's our mention for this season. If
you kind of recap, but not like the traditional recap.
We don't do a sequential tell you what happened recap as opposed to, you know, we just kind of talk about scenes all over the place as we're going to do with this one. Although we will start right in the beginning with the
most important thing. I want to play that golf.
Glow in the dark putt putt. Yeah, mini golf.
Golf looked awesome. I mean, that looked like a ton of fun.
Yeah, those places. You know, those indoor places, you know, when I grew up, there was a place in the mall, but it actually looked like a real golf course. Like it had sand traps, it was a major golf course, and it had water going through. It looked like a real golf course, but it was mini golf in the mall there. But anyway.
I went to a Fry's in Las Vegas that was like that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Fry's Electronics, they all do the themed, and the Las Vegas one is golf. All right, going on.
Yeah, anyway, moving along. So the girl's gets kidnapped from it. I mean, I was like, no,
don't let this be a kid pain or hurting kids episode. Cause that's like, the hardest thing to watch.
Yeah. We don't like those. Don't like kids being hurt. Don't like kids dying. So having, girl be kidnapped. And then, you know, we comes to find out that, she's not alone, it being that, you know, there's more just like her.
Yeah.
We learn one right away. We learn there's a third later. I honestly didn't look that closely even at the credits. I'm assuming that was all played by the same girl with some kind of stand-in doubles, or they found...
I don't know. It could have easily just been twins, and they had a stand-in for the third. Triplets are actually pretty rare, so...
Yeah, exactly.
And the problem is that in triplets, identical triplets are one in a billion. Triplets are usually a set of twins with a fraternal third.
They're identical.
It doesn't split. The egg doesn't split twice. It only splits once.
Right.
If you have quadruplets, you could potentially have two sets of twins.
It's actually
more likely that you have four individual fraternal twins.
Gotcha.
I have twins. So
I was going to say you have twins, so you know the details. Yeah, that's why I figured you would be able to talk about that.
Yeah, but identical triplets is just astronomically rare.
And yeah, and to have that in this episode, it makes sense according to the episode's genetic manipulation, being that they were bred as
right.
Such.
For the purposes of the story, they did it by design. They purposely split the embryo three times.
Yeah,
split it twice to make three.
These kids were practically identical with slight variations to their genetic code. Two
had tweaks, and one was normal.
Correct.
Or one was the control.
The control group.
Yeah.
And which one was the control? I actually missed that. Did it say?
It was one of the ones that got sick.
Okay.
She didn't get sick. She was effectively salt poisoned because she was drinking salt water.
Right. Right. So yeah, it was basically this Reisel is doing genetic manipulation to combat global warming. So it's a message episode in a way. There's actually a lot of messages in this episode, but it kind of is that. I mean, the guy's reason being it is that, you know, we've abused this planet enough and we need to evolve, and evolution takes too long. So I'm going to help it along and do genetic manipulation so that we can survive. Yeah, he felt very much like the way... the doctor, the geneticist in the Jurassic World movies has been portrayed. You know, he's...
Life finds a way.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, that was
idealistic and has... Yeah. You know, believes that his work is above anything else. I didn't catch any connection, though, with...
I never got that from Jurassic Park. That's a different discussion. But I
know.
I agree with those sentiment for this episode, not for Jurassic Park. But anyway, sure. Let's.
But it was brought to the FBI because there could be a connection with McMahon, but the connection was more the guy who was doing the kidnapping, not necessarily this geneticist. He's just kind of doing his thing.
Right.
It's
split, and it was a natural split. It was, hey, we're looking for this guy. Hey, this guy's kidnapping kids. So then they were trying to figure out the kids, and then Reddington went after Cotton.
Right, and really almost, you know, this Cotton guy is more of the blacklister. I mean, both of them probably could qualify as blacklisters, but he could have gotten a number of his own, being that he is a...
It did feel like the wrong person was listed as the blacklister.
Yeah, this guy seemed more like the guy that, you know, he's very resourceful, can find anything. The fact that, you know, I mean, just to kind of jump to the end, he knows where the hell this dossier is, like how he pieced that together.
Yeah,
like, that's taking a giant leap, because I don't know how anybody knows that's exactly how it happened. That some
kid has it.
How did he trace it to that kid?
Unless he's got some medium mystic, you know, helping him out somehow, it makes zero sense.
Right, because
are you drinking a White Russian?
No, I'm not. It's lemonade.
Okay,
so nothing like a White Russian.
Well, it looked like it. I was going to say, how appropriate for watching The Blacklist. Mm-hmm. But no, never mind. Lemonade's not so.
Nope. It was just kind of, that's going to be a stretch, and we're just going to have to forgive it. Unless they go ahead and explain
TV, it's bigger than all of us.
Yeah, unless they somehow explain that he had figured out through surveillance or something like that. Because honestly, I think the guy there, I don't seem to know his name, but the guy that works with McMahon, her associate there, that's the Secret Service guy.
The Hydra guy.
Yeah. He actually probably would be a better lead to figure out where that dossier went.
Because he was watching stethoscope.
He was watching Moreau, so he should have even seen Moreau drop that thing in the bag. So that's more likely, but it looks like they're just going to gloss over that point and say that Cotton was the guy that figured it out. And I'm guessing that's all. I mean, because for that's all really we got from our story arc was just that McMahon is incredibly worried.
And she is in a full blown panic attack, which is good because it means she's going to make mistakes. I mean, we know how television works.
When right.
Panic attack, make mistakes. And so, which is kind of what Red was almost hoping. I mean, this is a, you know, wouldn't be surprised. She's like, okay, good. Now she's, you know, freaking out.
Yeah, because now he can manipulate it. Now he can control it. Because he's got her on the run. When she's holding all the cards, she's harder to manipulate. But now that he has the lead on it. And from the way we can interpret it is, it's, you know, Red's probably got the better lead on getting this, even though I guess her associate there, we'll call him the Hydra guy. I can't find his name. But,
I don't think I've ever said it.
Like
name.
I said, I didn't look him up in the IMDb, but it wasn't said. But he says he knows that it was given to a kid. So it's going to be the race to get to that kid's house. I don't know why he wasn't heading there right then and there.
It's like, let's go do that first.
Yeah, you don't need to find Cotton anymore.
If we can get the dossier, we've got it under control.
And I don't care what Cotton tells Red. Why is he not going to do that? So unless that's where he was headed, but I don't get that's where he was headed because it sounded like he was still looking for Cotton.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there was the feeling of hours.
The whole episode, he was just driving around.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how he's trying to find Cotton just by driving around what looked like, you know, the George Washington Memorial Parkway or something like that. I don't know where the hell he was driving, but you just kind of driving around the DC metro area, just wandering around, hoping that he's going to see him on the side of the road.
It is DC. You will be in a traffic for hours.
That is true.
So that is, it's possible he just spent the entire thing in traffic.
That is true. But it didn't look like it looked like he was moving, but regardless. So, we, And that's where it's going to take us with our arc next. So let's pick apart the episode a little bit here. You want to talk about the kids' stuff? Like I said, I think the kids' stuff is all contained in this episode. I don't think that has anything to do with the greater conspiracy theory.
I did for a little bit. I actually thought that it did. It might have something to do with the bigger, and I was wrong, but I was thinking for a little bit that it was like, oh, maybe whatever their conspiracy is some type of viral attack on the U.S. and these kids are the ones that are working on getting the cure so that they can make sure they have one.
Right. I did think that as well.
Then I was like, oh, this is just saltwater kangaroos. Okay.
But you're right. I actually think that's probably why the episode was named after that guy as the Blacklister and not Cotton, because to keep us focused on that might be part of the arc when it really isn't.
It was a one-off.
But it was an interesting one-off, and you know, the guy had
his own police force.
Yeah, he had a serious force who was. It didn't seem like he was the boss, though. Like he was
that I will allow the Jurassic Park parallel that there's still another. There's a larger force outside,
right? That's controlling. That's what I mean. That's what I was trying to make the comparison. The scientist who's doing all his work and the work that he believes in, but there's something else there because you know when Liz and wrestlers show up with the warrant. I mean, these guys are acting dumb, like they're just not going to let him in. And I love wrestler's response. You know, he's like, I don't have clearance to do it. My warrant is your clearance. Yeah. You don't.
You actually don't get to tell me no anymore. If you, you know, don't do this, I will arrest you.
Yeah.
The problem is at that point, I was like, is that a real warrant? Because they wouldn't just be going, the SWAT team's on the way. They would be there with them.
That's what I mean.
You don't
go
with just two people when you know there's guards.
And you could start arresting the guards, right? Yeah, because they knew there were plenty of guards there in this facility. Yeah. And then we had the, you know, that one guard who goes and checks on the research assistants for the scientist for Risel and, you know, make sure that they wiped all the data and then kills them all. So there is that sense of a greater conspiracy here, at least with what he's involved in. And that might circle back around. I don't feel like it's involved with what McMahon's doing, but it could be something that could lead to next season's story arc bad guy.
Yeah, it would be a little bad wolf. I'd be all right with that. Yeah. It's like, remember that guy? It was a little bigger than we thought it was. There's actually multiple different types of tests of this going around to, you know, Greenpeace is involved into Green War type deal.
Well, for all we know, this guy actually truly believes that he's creating a sustainable cure for the global warming or whatever, some evolutionary change when the people above him have other plans for it.
Right. They're planning on invading Atlantis. Sure.
Exactly. So, but that's it. The girl and the girl who Corinne, who is the one that of the three girls that gets that seems to have,
she is the kangaroo, right? Yeah,
the cure there or the ability to withstand the environmental changes. She gets shot and survives. So it's kind of anticlimactic there. So, But yeah, that was that whole part of the arc. In the meantime, Red's doing some good Red stuff. We get Teddy back again.
Yay, Teddy!
Teddy, the interrogator. We get to meet Teddy's son. But this was one of several moments throughout this episode of parents-child. This season's done that a lot, running parallels within episodes of, you know, parent-child relationships.
There was three of them basically in this. Yes.
Yeah. You get the parents of these cloned kids basically that are they're gonna, you know, and Cooper has that whole speech at the end that's the lesson that biology doesn't matter, you know, parents and kids are gonna love each other,
right?
You know, happy feels but you get Teddy's moment, you know, where his son was kind of breaking his son into the family business of interrogating.
I love how he comes out and he's like standing at attention. I'm like, is he just really bad acting? Or then I realized, oh, this is supposed to be the offspring.
Yep.
He's, you know, trying to impress the father. Okay, I get it now.
He's like, I just can't do it. I can't get Cotton to confess the information you need. And Teddy's like, all right, you know, if you want it done right, you do it yourself routine, and goes in and gets it like it's nothing. I love the Teddy character. We've talked about him before, but I just love that he comes in with something different every time as his torture. We have no idea what he's actually doing.
Only the one time with the snake.
With the snake.
Well, we learned this time he was getting his avocados pollinated. So, yeah, I know.
We know what he's doing.
I know what they're talking about there.
but it's always interesting that we rarely see it with this character, what he actually does. But he's got something unique every time he brings something in. This time he brings in the beekeepers and all the bees and takes care of him. But even before we get to that whole thing there, we get this interesting lady in this clock shop.
The fencer, yeah.
Just an interesting character that
I hope we'll see her again.
Yeah, she's so neat. I feel like we've seen characters kind of like her before, that pawn shop episode.
We've got blacklisters that were like her.
Yeah, but she's just a real neat character, and her just so cool. Doesn't even look up. She even knows who Red is and doesn't care. This is what I do, and you're not going to control the situation until he piles on suitcases of money and she finally agrees to do what he said. But, you know, Red's whole path to get there is just, I enjoy these parts of the episodes. It's good writing. It's, you get your favorite actor, you know, doing his thing.
Yeah.
And how, you know, Red goes and just joins in with the senator for a luncheon and kind of manipulates him.
The senator didn't quite know who he was, and whoever the assumingly lobbyist was like, dude.
You know who that is, right?
Yeah. Do you watch the news?
And then we get a quick little rope-a-dope, and then it's pulled of, you know, we think the senator's involved in this greater conspiracy, and he's not. But he goes to McMahon.
No, he was a vehicle to figure out how McMahon was alerted to, yeah.
Yeah, he goes to McMahon and says, you know, you provided me with this asset you have to get a vote from me. But, you know, you're not getting my vote now. And that's all it was about. He's not part of the greater conspiracy. That leads us to Red going to the clock lady, to interrogating Cotton and getting the information he needs. And Red knows that McMahon has hired this guy to get the dossier. So that's where the rest of this season's going to go, the dossier and taking down the big players. And
yeah, we only have two episodes left, right, for this season?
Two episodes left. And next week's episode, I did peek ahead, is titled Anna McMahon, so she's a blacklister next week. And we'll get full front, you know, action with probably the race to get to this kid. Actually, I hope it's early. And then we get a story.
Kind of like what they did with the apology last episode. Yeah.
Because if we're spending this whole episode of them trying to find this kid, the fact that this guy knew it was this kid, I don't think it's going to be that hard. It's just really who gets there first. And it may be an hour episode and it's about the hour of them all driving over there. I don't know. But but no, I think it's more they get they'll get the dossier. I think Red will get it first. And then it'll just be him breaking down McMahon's.
It should be called at that point. If it's like an hour of them all driving over there, basically it should be the blacklister. The episode should just be called Capital Beltway number 495.
Perfect.
Which is the highway number for the Capital Beltway, for those that don't know, and how bad the traffic can be.
Yeah, that would be it. That would be why it's taking them so long to get over there.
Just road rage the entire time.
So yeah, that'll be our arc for that. But we did have other parts of our arc in this thing as well, with Liz and Red, and then Liz and Wrestler, and so forth. You know, Liz initially in the episode talking with Red about just forgiving her and moving on, and you know, you forgave Dembe, and kind of Red's like, you know, I can't forgive you, and he talks about how, you know, has his whole way of life is built around this trust, and you know, he's never conflicted when somebody breaks that trust. He eliminates them, but he can't eliminate her, because it's basically what he says. He's not conflicted about killing her, is basically what he said. He just
he's
said that
because he can't kill her.
He can't kill her.
He can kill. He can neither kill nor trust nor forgive.
So based on the, yeah, based on the promise that he made or whatever it may be. So, yeah, it's, and that was kind of cold, but again, and we are people, we, if you all listen to our episode last week, you know, we're conflicted about the story that Dominic told Liz. We're not so sure that
we're not buying it.
That's the whole truth, if any of it's the truth. And it leads to, you know, a character in the show kind of speaking for the audience. And I'm glad they had this moment with Wrestler kind of doing the same thing. Liz tells him pretty much what she learned. And Wrestler's like, can you buy that? You know, yeah. It doesn't make sense. There's holes in this story.
Ability to be objective about it.
Right.
And she can't be.
And then she also states in character so that she acknowledges it, that I admit that there's holes in the story and that I'm overlooking them because I kind of want this closure to it. And I'm willing to move on from it. So, but he also did bring up that the Russians were looking interested in why.
Finally, it's like, oh yeah, you're just telling her this now. And it's been at least a week.
And they kind of blew by that.
Yeah.
So, I think we'll see the Russians get involved. That may be our cliffhanger into next season, because I think, you know, this season's storyline arc is going to conclude with McMahon and the president and so forth. But there's got to be something that hangs us into next season. Do the Russians kidnap Red? Do they kidnap Liz? Do they kidnap Agnes? Because Liz at the end of the episode says, I'm bringing Agnes home. And was that Scotty with a really older Agnes on the carousel?
No.
Was that supposed to be Agnes?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Because when Red sat down,
I think she was just sitting there watching kids. I don't think it was.
Well, they kept showing that same girl, and Red said, I can't believe how big she's gotten.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
Did you miss that line?
I missed that line. We are having some pretty severe weather here, and I was watching this online, so I was getting some dropout.
Okay.
I may have just missed that.
Okay, because yeah, when Red said, I can't believe how big she's gotten, and they kept showing that same girl, but I couldn't quite make out the lady.
I got the impression that they were on the West Coast, that for some reason, I don't know why, I think Agnes is in like Southern California.
And yeah, and so, I mean, let's see, Agnes was taken away two seasons, or was it beginning of last season? The episode where Liz was, John Wick.
She should be about 3 or 4 years old right now.
Yes, I guess that girl could kind of be about that. She looked a little older, the girl on the carousel, but I couldn't tell.
Because it was two seasons ago, but we had her 10 months in a coma, and then TV time.
Yeah, that's true, and we have no idea how time flows in this show, because last week it was snowing still, and now it's spring, which could happen in the mid-Atlantic. But But yeah, so, but she made the mention, you know, I'm bringing her home. She talked about how, you know, everything that Red has trained Liz to do and that her knowledge, and she's going to have to pass it along, you know, to Agnes now for her protection. And, you know, Red said, you trust Scotty to do that? And he's like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring her home. So we're going to have that. And that's going to be something that's going to be able to manipulate Liz. And so I can certainly see Agnes playing a part in the story arc. Like I said, being kidnapped. She's already been threatened to be kidnapped, and Liz kidnapped and all that before. We've kind of gone through that before with the whole Alexander Kirk thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, who's behind these Russians? Is it the guy that was searching for Katerina back in 95 and all that, what we saw last week's episode? Katerina, we still don't know her resolution, where she's at. Plus, we still don't know the whole truth about who this Red guy really is. So
this Red guy.
Yeah. There's a lot there, because like I said, we all didn't buy it. From what I read everywhere, nobody bought it. Like that last week's episode, it's like,
I think it was pretty clear.
Nobody bought it.
You know, you're the architect of this charade. You know, I need to know everything you told her, because in case it came out wrong, you know, it was almost like a let's get her story straight. So yeah, nobody.
Yeah, no, agreed. Nobody bought it. And everybody thinks that everything we saw that last, which is kind of disappointing, because you give us this well-told story, this great episode, and we're just going to throw it away. So I'm wanting to lean more towards that what we learned last week was
misdirection,
somewhat true, but it's not the whole truth. There's a lot of holes in it that we'll like I said, I think we'll see that story again, but told as the truth, either from Red or from Katarina, and we'll see exactly what happened. Because that is really what makes the most sense about last week being just a load of BS, is that Dominic wasn't there for most of that, and yet he's telling that story as if he was. So right. How would he know those specific details about what happened? It actually doesn't make sense for him to tell that story, unless it was a rehearsed fabrication. Okay, yeah, that's all I got for this one. You got anything else you want to add? Any points that came out of it? Like I said, we're gonna hit the ground running with the next 2 weeks.
Did the kids in their cells feel really creepy to you? Very Children of the Corn.
It was, and again,
they were like, "Yay, we're getting rescued!" They're all like, all their heads turning simultaneously.
It was weird. Yeah,
I'm like, I think we just walked into a Stephen King novel.
Yeah. And have we seen this before in this show where they've walked into a place where a bunch of people were held captive? I feel like we've seen this a couple times. Not necessarily kids,
yeah,
but
this season.
Yeah, we've seen.
Oh, it was called When Red Was in Prison.
Well, not that one. Not that one. I mean, in this sort of situation where people are being held for experimentation or something like that. I feel like we had one a few years ago. I'm trying to remember what the episode was, but I feel like I saw something like this before.
Maybe.
Or I'm thinking of some other show or movie, but
it's possible.
Anyway,
I know another show right off the top of my head, the OA on Netflix, but totally different scenario.
Right. So, all right. Well, yeah, that's going to do it for this one. I mean, you could let us know what you think about this episode, where we're going to go with these final two. What do you think is going to carry us into next season? Let us know all your thoughts. You can email us at lovewins@podcastturbia.com, or you can go ahead and hit us up at Facebook or Twitter, #lovewins.
Twitter. # it's a greeting card.
It's a greeting card. And also let us know what you think on, if you get us from Apple Podcasts, give us some stars and reviews. We've been getting a lot of stars, but not as many reviews. So let us know what you like and don't like. It helps us make the show better for you. So that is going to do it for this week's episode. I am Brian, and he is Dave, and we'll see you all next time.
Good night, everybody.